outskirts of Rome. They're far enough out of the city so that they're almost in the country. It's very quiet and peaceful, and it must be beautiful in the summer. But this is winter, and a chill wind was blowing through the trees. There was no heat in the Jupiter. The director received me wearing an overcoat, and as he apologized for the lack of heating, he insisted that I wear my hat. All the boys wore overcoats, as varied a bunch of coats as you ever saw. Some were cut-down GI coats, some were civilian, others had been made with former German Army blankets. And the boys, there were about 30 of them, were small. I asked the director, how old are they? He told me. They ranged from 5 to 15. Well, I'm a short man, yet there wasn't one boy there that stood much higher than myself. It's the lack of milk, the director told me. Well, we brought in plenty of canned milk that day. And as we talked, the larger boys pitched in and helped drag the cases out of the truck and piled them into a warehouse. At Santa Rita, it was the same story. Only there, the little girls were all dressed alike. One Monsignor explained, after all, they are girls.
Often and little,
but still girls. Here, too, we dropped off 10 cases of milk.
Yes, it was an eventful evening when John Secondari, then CBS's Rome correspondent, reported direct to WJLS the whereabouts of the carload of milk which residents of the Smokers Coal Fields donated to the Friendship Train. The work which was done to allow such a broadcast to be made was great. In fact, there was no way in being sure whether the canned milk from Beckley and its surrounding communities had gone to Italy or France. Double precautions had to be taken not to miss it. So in addition to alerting Mr. Secondari, WJLS News also directed the French staff of CBS to be on the lookout for the food. A week after Mr. Secondari's report had been broadcast, these words were heard on the 6 p.m. News of the World Today broadcast.
This is David Schoenbrunn of CBS in Paris with a special report for WJLS in Beckley, West Virginia. When the Friendship pulled into the port of Le Havre, France, last December, there were about 20 American reporters and photographers waiting to flash the news back home to the millions of Americans who had so generously sent this cargo for children and old folks in France. Some of us planned to do a personalized story, the history of a particular gift from some typical American small town or big city. We thought that if we could follow just one shipment from the town in America to a French town over here, we could dramatize this story of hands across the sea. A magazine photographer friend of mine and two agency men had plans like that for special American towns. Mine was for Beckley, West Virginia. But on that cold, rainy December morning, standing on the windswept pier of Le Havre, Beckley seemed very far away to me. I've never been in your town, but about 7 years ago, I had a wonderful motor trip through Raleigh County, and if I remember correctly, passed just south of you at Bluefield. I felt, however, that I would get to know you through your gift, reporting for you just how they were received by unknown but grateful French friends. So I rushed forward with the photographers as soon as the Friendship tied up at the pier and waited for the first freight to be swung over. Not that there was anything but a million to one chance that I'd see a sexy thing on that first selection from an 8 million pound cargo. But I knew you'd want to hear about the very first arrival. We crowded around a big box of fruit juice. The label read, "From the people of America to our dear friends, the people of Italy."
Though he wasn't able to find the milk donated from this part of the country, Dave Schoenbrunn did give an eyewitness picture of the efforts of this country to help feed the starving millions in Europe. It was with these two special broadcasts, WJLS News and Special Events Department began to feel that the people in southern West Virginia were beginning to notice their work. It was the beginning of 1948, and as the year rolled on, the two departments combined to give you more up-to-the-minute reports. You heard during the year the first broadcast of all 7 of the games from the state high school basketball tournament. You heard a complete statewide election report on the night of the primary election. This broadcast tied together the facilities of the Personality Network. It linked together WKWK in Wheeling, WKNA in Charleston, and WJLS in Beckley to give you the latest returns on the primary election. CBS gave you full coverage of the Republican and Democratic National Conventions in Philadelphia. During those early months of last year, WJLS News added a special Washington correspondent, the Irwin News Service. And since, it has been able to provide the listeners to our newscast more up-to-the-minute reports of what is occurring in the nation's capital. In short, by the fall of 1948, the WJLS Special Events and News Department was running in high gear. Then on the night of November 2nd, with the combined facilities of the CBS News and Special Events Department and the WJLS News and Special Events, you heard the election results pour in from all parts of the country. And by early morning, you knew the biggest election upset in history had occurred. It was a banner year when December 31st arrived. It was the first full year of operation under the new policy adopted by WJLS News and Special Events. The new year, 1949, and its first 2 months plus, has already brought some startling news developments. With the Irwin News Service, WJLS News has brought you two scoops. The selection of Lewis Johnson as Secretary of Defense was predicted as much as 7 weeks ago. The bill which Congressman Hedrick introduced to obtain $1 million experimental station in natural gas for Beckley was another news break first heard on WJLS. Once again, we combined with WKNA in Charleston, and on January the 17th, you heard Governor Okie Patterson take the oath of office and deliver his inaugural address. But in a sense, this was routine work for the news department. It was just last Friday morning that a new and better job of reporting was brought to the listeners. An on-the-spot report of a major news development was offered. If you were listening to this station last Friday morning between 11:30 and 11:45, you heard these words. Something new in reporting news developments was offered in that broadcast. WJLS News was on the scene. Actually, 7 men lost their lives in that fire, which turned out to be the worst tragedy in West Virginia's history. And with the broadcast came another notch in progress. WJLS News and Special Events looks back on the past 10 years with pride in knowing that it has been able to serve you. And it looks forward to the years ahead to the opportunities of service. Its goal is to give you the best coverage of news and special events possible.
That was William R. Barrett, Special Events and News Director for WJLS, recounting important news events which have been broadcast over WJLS in the past 10 years. Highlights and listing for Southern West Virginia, news which has made history.
In May 1947, this message came from Virginia N. Cooper, station manager. Since 1939, we have tried earnestly to do a good and acceptable job for our Beckley and Raleigh County listeners, and one for their immediate neighbors. Now, while we shall continue to try to give our local listeners the best in radio, we also undertake to serve most of southern West Virginia. And we want to serve all of it in the same way that won for WJLS a national award for good show management. It is a challenge that we accept. We now have the facilities to enable WJLS to become one of the outstanding stations in the nation. And we do not intend to neglect to make the most of the opportunity. So as WJLS again takes a step forward, we repledge ourselves to the service of all of our old friends and pledge ourselves anew to our new listeners who we confidently hope to make call our friends before too long a time. We hope that when you turn your dial to 560 and hear the voice of the announcer say, "This is WJLS Beckley," that you will feel at home in the company of a friend who is willing and anxious to serve you and your community. Those were the words written by our station manager in May 1947, upon WJLS's fourfold increase in power from a local station to a regional outlet.
A step forward with 10 years of broadcasting service and experience. And may we have the opportunity of serving listeners everywhere for another 10 years. May we justify your faith in us. May we continue to provide you, the listener, with the best in news, entertainment, public service, and educational features whenever your dial is turned to 560 or to 99.5.
WJLS has reached the 10th milestone in its broadcasting history. From March 5th, 1939 to March 5th, 1949, 10 years of broadcasting service to southern West Virginia.
Beckley, with your WJLS and WJLS-FM, looks forward to serving you, the listener, for another 10 years.
The special program just concluded in observance of WJLS's 10th anniversary was written by Benton Boggs and William R. Barrett. Your announcers have been Jack Pavor and Walter Carter.